May as well give you the bad news first. My watch stopped. Just stopped. No warning, no nothing. Before you all come up with a watch, there's a clock back there. I should be okay. They say it is hot in Florida, but it has nothing on Alabama. Your heat index is doing just fine. Well, it's certainly good to be here and good to see a lot of friends, old friends and new friends, and those that I haven't seen in quite some time, and certainly looking forward to camp again this year. I'm sure we'll have a good camp. I thought what I would do for a title, if you want a title, is The Way to Have a Successful Camp. That's my title, The Way to Have a Successful Camp. And I thought a little bit about this, and in fact, I almost got a little nervous when Mr. Beam said he thought about going to Ecclesiastes, because that's all, the only scriptures I've got are in Ecclesiastes. I thought this could be a problem here. That's why it's sort of good to discuss what the other person's going to speak on. But he saved me. But I wanted to start off by saying a couple things here. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I know probably everyone in here, or at least the vast majority of you, realize the situation, the tragedy we had down in Florida during the last 6-7 weeks when George Gennaro and Morgan Green went an accident, and Morgan, thankfully, is okay, but Jordan, of course, died. And it's been a very hard time and a very sobering time for a lot of people, a lot to think about. And I thought about, as I was thinking about this sermon about how to have a successful camp, I thought a good deal about Jordan, because I've known Jordan quite a while, and Jordan was at camp virtually every year. Corey, his brother, has been here quite a bit, although I doubt if Corey will ever get accepted again after his comment about Mr. Cordelia, but it's been nice knowing you, Corey, at camp. There's always other campsites to try for. But anyway, and of course, Jared is here too. And CJ Gennaro has been in camp a number of times. He's not here this year. But I thought a lot about this, and Jordan would be embarrassed if I even, if he was here, he would not want me saying things about him, probably good things about him. But I just thought I'll take a few minutes, because if he was here today, he would say, I think these would be five things. I've got 5 points here that I believe he would agree with of how to have a successful camp. I thought I'd go through these 5 little points, and they're not deep, they're not long, and I may even actually finish ahead of time, although don't count on it, but there's always that possibility. You know, you never know. I'm not Mr. Veller, though. You know, he never has finished on time on anything. Remember that one time at dorm parents' night? It's supposed to last 15 minutes, and it lasts an hour and a half. And I was there. I didn't know how to get out. But anyway, it was interesting. But here's 5 points I think we can all learn from. Number one, you're here to have fun. You know, that's one of the main purposes of camp. We want to have fun, and this is a time to have fun. Now, let's turn over to Ecclesiastes, and that's the only book I'll be in today, so it's pretty easy to know where you are. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 on this point of we're here to have a good time. And I think at the end of the week, I think probably, hopefully everybody in here will be thinking about what a good time they had, because that's a purpose of camp. And in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven." So there's a time for all types of things in life. And this is a time for camp, and one of the things to do is to have fun. Now, in verse 4 of Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time to weep. Well, we've been doing a lot of mourning in Florida and many other places of friends of the Gennaros. And we've been, in a way, weeping and mourning. But there's also a time to laugh. And at camp, I think there'll be a lot of laughter and a lot of fun times and a lot of good things together. And there are also, as it says here, there's a time to mourn. And again, we've been doing quite a bit of mourning recently, But there is a time to dance, and we will have a lot of time to have fun, one of which will be dancing at camp this year. Now, you all have jobs to do. Everybody here, whether you're a camper or you're a staff, you'll have jobs to do, but it can all be done in fun, can't it? It can be done with a lot of fun, and there's also a fun time and there's serious time. But like I said, there is a time. One of the main purposes of camp is just to have a good time and have fun. Now, when I thought about Jordan, he was a fun-loving guy, but he had a serious side too. He was a fun-loving guy, but he had a serious side too. So let's think about this week. Have fun. Don't lose that opportunity to have a good time, to get to know people, to get to spend time with your friends, and just plain have fun. Now, a second purpose or way to have a successful camp is to get involved and don't just sit back and let the week go by. It seems like a long time. You know, it's a Sabbath here, and it'll be 1 week from tomorrow, we'll all be heading home. That seems like a long time right now, doesn't it? It's sort of like the Feast of Tabernacles. When you first get there, you think it's just, oh, man. And then you start counting the days. And then you get to the back half, and then it seems like the days go by faster. And at camp, you know, it's don't just sit back and let it happen. Be sure and get involved and enjoy yourself. You know, have fun and get involved and just do things and don't let the week just go by. Now, I'll mention one more thing about Jordan. He was involved down in Tampa in virtually every aspect of the congregation. He was in Spokesman's Club. He worked on the sound system. He was an usher. He was involved in service projects. I probably got called by Jordan more than any person, youth or adult, asking me if he could help me in anything. And I appreciated that. And Jared and CJ, who's not here, but Jared and CJ, I'll say again, who's not here, and Corey, who is here, they get involved in things. And that's a wonderful thing. So just sitting back and watching the days go by, you'll regret it if you don't get involved and really make a chance to meet some friends, make a chance to do some things, make a chance to get to know some of the adults. You know, we're not that scary. Why are you laughing? Maybe I am, but I don't mean to be. Kind of hurt my feelings. Not really. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's turn to verse 9. Let's look at a few verses here in this point of get involved, know to sit back and let the week go by. Verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? So take this in the sense of if you're a staff member and you're doing various things or you're a camper and you're doing various things, what is the point? And it says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything. God has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than a little baby that's born. But you know, there's nothing any more beautiful than an elderly person who is godly, who has values, who is there to help. It's got, everything God has made is beautiful in its time. He said also he has put, notice, eternity in their hearts. Do you ever sit around and just wonder, why was I born? Or why did God put me here? Why this? Why that? And God, down deep, he wants us all to realize that this is just, as Mr. Beam's sermon was, this is physical life. But there's eternal life. And that's what we all want to be in the kingdom of God. We want to be in eternal life, don't we? And this physical life doesn't last that long. Even my mother's 97, and I went up to see her yesterday, and she's not in very good health. And quite frankly, she talks a lot about, yesterday she was talking about, and it kind of bothers me when she says this, but she doesn't mean it the wrong way, but she talks about what outfit she wants to be buried in. And I'm thinking, Mother, don't talk about that. But, you know, she's lived a good life, and she's not upset about this. But yet, she wants eternal life. She may not understand the whole details. In fact, I'm sure she does not even come close to it. But God gave each human being this desire to live forever. It's in our mind. It's in our heart when we're created. God gives us that idea. It says he has put eternity in the hearts, except no one can find out the work that God has done from the beginning. We can't understand all the reasons that God did what he did. Sometimes I ask myself, why did God give me life? I'm sure thankful he did, but I don't understand all the details of why God does what he does. He says, I know there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Have a good time, but make sure your life is something that's pointed in the right direction. And also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God to be able to make something of our life, to get involved, to do things. You'll never regret it the more you get involved in life. Now, Ecclesiastes 9, one other verse on this point. And get involved and don't just let the week go by. You know, I was just thinking about this a minute ago. I would encourage you to drink a lot of water. I learned that lesson one year. I was over softball one year. And I don't know, I guess I should have known this, but I drank so much iced tea. I mean, I was constantly drinking iced tea the whole week. In my mind, it was the same as drinking water. If you're a nurse or a wife or a person with a brain, you probably know that that was not the smartest thing. And the very last day, the very last activity, the very last time we're playing softball, it was Friday afternoon about 2 o'clock, and we're all playing in the game, and I was up to hit, and I hit what I thought was a good hit. You know, it probably wasn't that good, but it seemed good to me. And, man, I started running down to first base, and I felt like somebody just shot me in the calf because I pulled a little muscle. And I hobbled around for quite a while and drank a lot of water, drank a lot of water. Drank a little iced tea, but don't – if you see me drinking iced tea, that's okay. I can handle it, but I'll be drinking water too. I don't know why I got off on that, but if Mr. Beam can get on tangent, so can I. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. One verse here. Whatever your hand finds to do. Remember on this point, get involved. Don't just sit back and let the week go by. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't just sit back and let the week go by. Get involved. Get to meet people. Learn, talk to people. Get to know people. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Now, we'll all await the resurrection at some point. You know, our life is a period of time. But as I said, number one, remember, have fun. And number two, get involved. Don't just sit back and let the week go by. Number three, if I didn't say I have 5 points. The fifth one is a long one. But, no, it's not. Ecclesiastes, no, point three. Be positive. Be a positive influence at camp. Be a positive influence at camp. There's nothing worse than just sitting around and complaining all the time. You won't be happy if you do it, and probably those around you won't be happy. But be a positive influence. And I think usually most everyone at camp is a positive influence. But remember that. Now let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 9 again, where we just were. And I'm going to read verse 13 through 18. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 13 through 18. It says, this wisdom I have seen under the sun. So here Solomon was noticing this wisdom. It seemed great to me, he said. Now, notice what he says. He said, there was a little city with few men in it, or few men and women. There's a little tiny city with just a few people in it. And a great king came against it, a very strong king, I guess it's saying. He besieged it and built great snares around it. So it wasn't looking good. But notice, now there was found in it, in that city, a poor wise man. Not a rich person, but a poor person, but a wise person. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. How many times has someone prayed about something in life? You may never even know. More than likely, you won't know when somebody's prayed for you. But how many times, I wonder how many times people have prayed, you know, my parents have prayed for me, or members have prayed for me, or I prayed for people, and all the various people praying for each other. How many times has it happened that we don't see what all's going on, but God does, and God knows what we need? And he said, there's this little town, and everything was falling apart, but there was this poor wise man, and God delivered the city. And notice what it said, yet no one remembered that same poor man. No one even knew it happened, but God did. No one really understood why God delivered that city, because there was all this might going against it in a little town, but there was this little wise man or little wise woman or little wise girl, little wise boy that was praying, and God heard it, and he delivered them. Now notice it says, then I said, verse 16, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than strength. Because I don't care how strong you are, over time, your muscles aren't as strong and your body gets weaker. So strength is fine, it's good, but it leaves you at a certain point. So wisdom's better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised because they didn't realize what he was doing, that he was using common sense and probably going to God and asking for help, and God was hearing this person. Verse 17, words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. You know, anybody can be a fool. Doesn't take anything to be a fool, to be a loudmouth and to act like you know everything. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Foolishness can cause a lot of problems. Now, every person, I look at myself, I've done plenty of foolish things in my life, but I don't want to be a fool. And I hope I'm growing in wisdom as I grow older. But when you act and play the fool, realize it doesn't work good. So think about it and try to make some changes. I remember back when I was in Ambassador College, there was they had an ice hockey team one year. And you think, well, ice hockey team in Pasadena, they had an ice hockey team. They were in a league with several other California colleges, and they were getting all excited about the ice hockey team. And, of course, there weren't that many students at Ambassador College. It was mainly the ones from Canada or in the northeast or northern part of the country were on the ice hockey team. There was one guy on the team, and he was sort of a loudmouth. And, well, I can't say his name, but he's not in here. But anyway, let me just say his name. I'll say his name was Chris Bondi. And because the reason I'm saying that, because when they're coming out for the match, and everybody was so excited about Chris Bondi, and they all came skating out. And Chris Bondi was so proud of himself. He was skating out, and he thought they were yelling, Bondo, Bondo. So I guess his name was Bondi, wasn't it? Bondo, Bondo. And he thought he would show off, and he thought he'd do a little twirl around. Well, he fell flat on his, you know what. And I still remember that to this day, that he was going to show off so much. He did this little twirl around, and that's all I remember about Bondo. But anybody can be a fool, and this world's full of it. But, boy, the wise person, you can do so much good by being wise. Now, just a few more verses here. Chapter 10 now. Chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. It said, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. You know, if you've got a beautiful smelling aftershave or cologne or perfume, if you put something rancid in it, it destroys it, doesn't it? So no matter how expensive it could be, you could ruin it by putting something foolish in it. And it causes it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom. You know, the staff, you're here because we see you as wise. You know, wise. A lot wiser than you probably even see yourself. And you've been given these jobs of, or the counselor or whatever the thing in staff. You're here because we respect you and we care about you and we know you will do a good job. But notice what it says. A little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor, if we just kind of leave the path for a minute, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. Verse 3, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. And he shows everyone that he's a fool. So just remember, it's not the loudest person. It's not the person that's, you know, tries to get the attention. It's the person that stands up for positive, good influence. That's why you're here. That's why the campers are here. You know, not every camper is accepted. We try to accept everyone we can. But if you're a staff member, you're here because we have faith in you. And I'm sure the faith is well grounded. But remember, be a positive influence. Now, two more points, and then I'll finish. Number four. So let's review here a minute. Number one's have fun. Number two is get involved. Don't just sit back and let the week go by. Number three is be a positive influence at camp. Number four, do not neglect time alone to get close to God. Take time away from your busy schedule, all that's going along. Take time to sit down and think. Take time to sit down and pray. Take time to sit down and read your Bible a little bit. Just take time to get away from the busy schedule to take time to spend some time getting closer to God. Take time to read your Bible when you get a chance. Take time to be alone and to say things and talk to God. By taking time, we can become like the words that we see here toward the close of Ecclesiastes. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 9, 10, and 11, here's the conclusion of the matter, basically, of what Ecclesiastes is all about. Verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise. Well, you could substitute the word because the staff counselor was wise, because the camper was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. You can teach your campers knowledge if you're a staff member, or you can teach your other campers knowledge if you're a camper by using wisdom and by being a team player and working together. He said because they were wise, they taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered. He didn't or she didn't just blurt out whatever was on their mind. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs and sought to find acceptable words, words that were written that were upright, words of truth. The Bible is where truth is. The zone is where you can get together as friends and not be afraid of having someone hurt your feelings. And if we hurt someone's feelings, we apologize, don't we? The words of the wise are like goads, like the words of the scholars. They're like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. It's like a house that is nailed properly. That's why you are a staff member, because we've got faith in you. And that's why you're a camper, because we believe in you. We want you to have fun. We want you to do all these things. But remember, take time to get to know God better. Get to know the other staff members. Get to know the men and the women here. Get to know each other. It's a great opportunity, because you'll never have this year a better opportunity to be around a small group of people for a shorter period of time than this. Even the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, there. If you go to Panama City this year, you'll probably have about 700 or 800 people. If you go to North Carolina or Jekyll Island, you'll have about 550 to 600 people. That's a lot of people. But here at camp, we're less than 100 people. Chance to get to know each other. And I know sometimes I don't take advantage as well as I should, and I look at myself and say, I want to get to know people better. Don't neglect that time. You can be the one to help teach others how to live properly. You can be the example. And I'm sure in many, many cases, you will. Now, number five, final point. See, I didn't need a watch, did I? Unless that clock stopped up there. Remember, have fun. Get involved. Don't just sit back and let the week go by. Be positive. Be a positive example. Don't neglect time getting close to God. But what's the end result of not only camp, but our life? Our goal, your goal, is to become a person that pleases God. That's what we're all here for. My wife often says that she thinks of life as like a class. She just wants to pass, but she wants to get as good a grade as she can because she wants to be in the kingdom of God. We all do. Sometimes we get all these things going around and we lose focus and lose our place a little bit. But the end result is we want to be a person that pleases God. And I think we will be. And I think every camp I've been to this year, it's been a camp that in the vast, vast, vast majority pleases God. And that's a wonderful thing. So what is the end result of coming to camp this week? Well, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 11. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Then I'm going to turn to another scripture, and then I'm going to go sit down, and you're going to be thinking about food, which you probably already are. Verse 9, Ecclesiastes 11. Rejoice, O young man or young woman, in your youth. Be glad that you're here at camp. Rejoice, O young man or young woman, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Have a good time. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, judgment doesn't need to be a bad thing. Judgment can be a wonderful thing. God is judging our actions. God is judging how we're trying, how we care. So judgment doesn't mean, oh, no, I'm being judged. No, God's judging everyone. And he's pulling for us, and he's happy for us. And he's really going to be excited about this camp. I feel quite confident. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth, it can be vanity, but it doesn't have to be. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Here's the end of the story. Verse 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So what have we covered today? We talked about having fun. We talked about getting involved. We talked about being positive. We talked about getting to know God better. We talked about growing as a person that pleases God. But here's the conclusion of camp. Here's what life is all about when you get right down to it. This is why God created you and gave you and I and all these other many people in the world life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, verse 13. Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. The whole duty of man and woman is to fear God, keep his commandments. And when we make a mistake, get up and change, repent. For God will bring every work into judgment. And like I said, judgment can be a wonderful thing. Judgment is not something to fear if we love God and strive to obey God. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Now, how many things do you do in secret that can be really good? Every time you pray for somebody, you're doing that in secret, and God sees it. So that's not necessarily a negative thing, but God sees what we're doing. God sees how we're trying. So God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. That's the result of camp. The result for camp is to have fun, you know, get involved, be a positive person, grow closer to God, and become the type of person you want to be and God wants you to be. God is the greatest being around. God loves you. God loves all of us. God loves all mankind. But what's the whole duty of man? Fear God. Obey God. And keep His commandments. Have a wonderful camp.